Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This is Jack of Ball, man.
You want to play games? Okay. How can I win?
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong. Too strong. We're going to break the table tonight. Give it to them.
Guys, welcome back everybody to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send them along.
You want to play games? Okay.
Giving you the latest in sports and hottest sports people out there in your city, in your area, or local. Welcome back, everybody, to another wonderful Monday night. This is Game Strong Sports Talk Show, your host, Trey. I hope everyone enjoyed their weekend with their moms. Definitely, I know I've done it all this week, but Mom, hey, I love you. Thanks a lot. And save me some pie. So you already know. Also with me, I got my co-host, Miss TK.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
So you are here for another week.
To give you the blues. That's my mission. Monday night, give Trey the blues.
I feel special.
Don't feel special, no.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Your homeboy from your favorite team, Cleveland Cavaliers, Mike Brown, gets fired.
Now that's my homeboy.
You know.
It's 8:03 and you start with me already.
I'm just saying, Mike Brown got fired from the same team twice.
Oh, are you surprised?
I'm just saying, you know, you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan.
I am not a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. On team time, you're a hater, I'm not surprised he got fired.
So you saying you don't have no type of Cleveland Cavaliers pair like?
Zero.
No t-shirt.
Never has, never will.
Wow. Cleveland Cavaliers fans, there you have it. A person from Ohio not supporting the movement. Mm-mm-mm. Wow.
You love trying to throw me under the bus,
I'm not. Definitely, before we move on, I got to give a shout-out to my AAU coach, personal trainer, Coach Wilson, got married this weekend. Also, for all those people, man, I had a former guest on here, Coach Terrence Coley, had a wonderful, wonderful turnout at the Atlanta Live. I was there checking out a lot of players, definitely providing a lot of opportunities for some guys going to Italy to catch their dreams, man. Shout out to them. Atlanta always shows me love. And for those who were on pins and needles for the NFL draft.
You really thought you was going to get Manziel, didn't you?
You know what? As a Cowboy fan, and I am a diehard Cowboy fan, of course, we're probably one of the greatest franchises in the NFL.
Really? Okay.
Better than your team.
That clap was uncalled for.
Gotta give a shout out to the sound people. Gotta give a shout
You're
out.
You're on your side tonight,
actually. Look, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, I have to admit, I was highly upset. People heard me screaming down the street. Yes.
I thought you were going to cry.
You know what? I was looking to get Johnny Manziel. I really did want Johnny Manziel because he possessed an intangible that Romo does not have.
But you know Jerry is in love with Romo. They have a love affair that's just not going to end. And you are a typical Cowboy fan that expects so much from your sorry franchise, and they never deliver. They're like that ex-girlfriend you keep trying to run back to. She ain't going to change. That's who she is. Leave her alone. Find you a new bride.
You know what? And to respond to that remark, I know you're happy because you are a Cleveland Browns fan.
No, I'm not. Now, that's like cussing me out right now. I am a Bengals fan. Don't even try me with that Brown stuff. Don't do it.
Wait, who was your favorite NFL team?
You heard me, the Bengals. Don't start. Because we made it to the playoffs, and your team, for at least three seasons, for the three seasons that we have made this bet, they have not made it to the playoffs.
Who's this football team again? The Eagles?
Don't try me. Don't do it.
You meant to say the Ravens.
No, I said the Bengals, who made it to the playoffs when the Cowboys didn't.
You know what? The Bengals. What city are they from?
That's what you want to do today.
I'm just saying. What city? I never really hear about the Bengals.
I wasn't even trying to come here, you know, and argue with you today. But since you want to go there, we can go there.
What? I'm just.
The Cincinnati Bengals, I'm going to go on the record and say it, are way better than the Dallas Cowboys. Way better than the Dallas Cowboys. I said it.
The Bengals. The team that wears stripes. Or whatever they wear. I never really heard of that team too much. They're not on ESPN all too much. Not knocking them. But that's your team. And everybody has their right to love whomever they choose as far as being a sports fan. There's Jaguars fans and there's Bengals fans. There
are Cowboys fans.
Who is pretty much one of the greatest.
When you make it to the playoffs, we can have this conversation.
You
have lost the bet three seasons in a row. So you don't have too much room to talk about my Bengals right now.
Who else is going to talk about them?
Really? Have y'all ever heard somebody get beat up over the radio?
Oh, boy. Last week it was Mayweather. Now
Mayweather might call me tonight and go off like he did, oh, boy.
We're not going to even get on.
Floyd, you scared. If I attack y'all, I'll say it. I ain't scared.
He's not scared.
He's scared.
You know what?
Just like you scared.
No, you know what? As much as I want to see this fight. Everybody wants to see this fight. It's just might not be a wise business decision for Floyd Mayweather.
Of course, because he's scared he's going to lose. I didn't say he was stupid. I said he was scared.
And he might not be scared. He might just be like, you know what, for my final fight of my career, I'm fighting Pacquiao.
You really scared he gonna call and cuss you out like he did, oh boy. I see you.
No, not at all. I'm like straddling the fence.
So that's what you do.
You know, I never do that. First of all,
he's not going to do it because he's not stupid. He know that it's a big possibility he will not win that fight, and he's trying to stay undefeated. So it's smart, but he's scared. He's not confident that his ability to beat him.
Floyd Mayweather, he might fight Pacquiao. I'm gonna be one of those 10 people that believe that there'll still be a Mayweather Pacquiao fight. This is probably years of anticipation going towards the fight.
Just like a Cowboys fan, always believing in the impossible.
Wow, that you know what? You might not have a job next week.
At least I'm going to go out with a bang.
Anyways, my team did good in the draft. Even though we didn't get Manziel, we made some solid picks.
That's not your problem.
Yeah, our problem was defense.
Man, you have a lot of problems.
Our problem was defense.
Y'all have a one of many. It's not like you don't have talented people on the team. Your problem is your owner.
You know
and
what?
And your coach. But your owner, he pulling too many strings. He don't know what he's doing.
You know what? As much as I agree with you, you know there's a lot of problems in the Dallas organization, but one thing, as you know, being a championship organization, I don't know if the Bengals know anything.
Like 1983? Like, stop it.
Granted, cool, but, you know, we've been there before. I don't know if the Bengals can say that any type of hardware, you know, like Super Bowls. I don't know if you could put Super Bowls and Bengals in the same sentence. No, not really. But it's still, the Jerry Jones is, in this draft, I thought he was being the general manager that said, hey, you know what, I'm tired of entertainment. We got the entertainment factor down pat. Let's start winning games.
We'll see when the season starts.
You're absolutely right.
Y'all still not going to the playoffs.
You know what? I beg to differ.
You said that last year and the year before. Y'all not going to the playoffs. You didn't do that good in the draft. Y'all still got a lot of holes that need to be fixed. Y'all still not going to the playoffs. Now, I am surprised that Manziel went 22nd, though.
Very surprised that Manziel went 22nd. This is the whole thing about the Manziel thing. You have Vincione. You have Hoyer. You needed receivers. You draft Manziel. Don't draft any receivers. And you cut Vincione.
Manziel won't throw it to himself.
And you know what? He's good. He's Johnny Football. Not that damn good. I think they're putting a lot of faith in Manziel.
No matter how good he is, he still has to have somebody good enough to catch the ball. I mean, that's the issue that the Browns have.
They have a lot of issues.
What I'm saying is they can put as much faith as they want in Manziel, but he still has to have somebody to throw it to, regardless, no matter what team he went to. But I don't knock them for trying to get Manziel. I mean, he was dangling out there for a long time, so.
I love it. I really think they drafted Manziel from a media perspective. Like, he's going to fill seats. Like,
yeah.
He went to a city which was in dying need of
something.
Of something to get that sour taste out of LeBron out of their mouth. You know, and people, as many athletes as this come to Cleveland, they've always, the city of Cleveland, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, has tried to find that athlete to be the face of Cleveland so they can permanently get rid of that LeBron thought, which still haunts him to this day. I think that's where they drafted Manziel. I don't necessarily think he'll play right away, but by popular demand, he's going to play. I'm hearing today they cut Vince Young after they just signed him 2 weeks ago, and now they cut him.
They just got Manziel. Why would they want Manziel?
And just quiet as this cat, Vince Young as a starting quarterback is a winning quarterback.
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm just saying they would have three quarterbacks.
They had four, and they just so happened to be like, oh, Vince Young, you're the weakest link for some reason.
So who do you think they should have cut?
I don't think they should have gotten Manziel.
But they did. So since they got Manziel, what do you think they should have done? Since they shouldn't have cut Vince Young, what should they have done?
I would have got rid of Hoyer. Because Hoyer was a flash in the pan guy. He, you know, brought some life back, but he got hurt. It wasn't really hard to throw him to Josh Gordon. I mean, you know, Gordon, because, well, hell, everybody was throwing it to him. He was the only person to throw to. So you get that dynamic, and now we just, like, they got all these quarterbacks now and no receivers. You're not going to even talk about the defense or the running game or the offensive line. Not going to even talk about that. So they're putting a lot of pressure on Manziel. And mind you, they have to play the Steelers, who, quiet as is kept in the draft, they addressed a lot of issues on that defensive side of the ball. Also, the Ravens, who address their issues on the defensive side of the ball. Two of the hardest hitting, you know, top tier teams in the league. And then, okay, cool, granted, you know, the Cincinnati Cats, whatever that team is called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playoff team. And all in that division.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be easy for them regardless, but, I mean, I understand why they got Manziel, because it's Johnny Football. Is he a good fit for the Browns? I'm not so sure.
This is, okay.
So we just have to see how it plays out. I mean, I wish him the best of luck. I like Manziel. I really do. He's talented.
I
understand the urge to get him. I understand that. Because if I was in their position, I would want him
to.
Look,
I was tweeting Skip Bayless, like, look, please tell Dallas to draft Manziel. Because to me, I think the pick that we got the first round of offensive lineman, Martin from Notre Dame. Granted, he's a good pick, but ranked one of the best offensive linemen in this draft.
But y'all need a bet.
But we were doing experts. Like, I'd rather went with Pryor that we could guess, which was a steal, or Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
He went late in the draft, too, which I was surprised.
If you was not going to pick Johnny Manziel, let's go ahead and address the immediate issue, which for the Cowboys is not only the defensive line, but it's our secondary, preferably the safety position. So if it wasn't Pryor, it wasn't Dix, I would have went for Manziel, because I really think, for all you people who all of a sudden believe in Romo, I just don't think he has nothing left in the tank.
I mean, Romo's done all he can do. What else can he do to get the Cowboys to the playoffs? I mean, he has had great games. He has played exceptional during the season and lost the game. So what else can that man really do to get y'all to win?
And you know what? I'm glad you asked that question. Ask for a trade. And I believe he restructured his contract. Just go somewhere else. Because, honestly speaking, we haven't done all that bad with him, but we haven't done all that great with him.
Not as good as you should.
And granted, people say, well, it's the defense. Cool. Defense. But Tony Romo, out of the games that he lost, I think I was reading this, if I can remember correctly, like 28% of the Dallas Cowboy losses come from Romo turning the ball over in the clutch, last 2 minutes of the game.
He's good for that. That's his signature.
So half of the losses accumulated to the Cowboys, it's Romo's fault. And now Romo is just, we feel sorry for him now. Before people used to be like, oh, man, Romo, he's a habitual screw-up, this, that, and the other. And now it's just, we look at Romo, it's like, you know what, it's okay if you screw up because you're Romo. You play for the Dallas Cowboys. Don't worry about being great. Just entertain us with your interceptions. No. I feel that if they would have drafted Manziel, it would have been like when Steve Young went to the 49ers. It is something to keep Romo on his toes.
But Jerry doesn't want to put that kind of heat on Romo. I told you, they're in love.
I don't know why. The best game of his life, he screwed it up.
Yeah.
I really want to use the other term, but at their censorship, I want to be here next week on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. He screws it up. So, also, we got to give congratulations to Michael Sams being drafted by St. Louis Rams, being the first openly gay player to be drafted in any sport. Definitely this man. It's kind of revolutionized in a way, sports, because people that are, you know, they don't have to be in the closet anymore. They can be proud of who they are. And I saw it in a way because he's living his dream of being drafted. And people had negative things to say because of the affection but taking that, putting that aside, this man, at the end of the day, living out his childhood dream, which is to play professional football. And all the people that were important to him was there to experience that moment. And some of the negative feedback from the group of he was being affectionate towards the young, it really just shows the ignorance that some people have. Which easily, the only thing you could have done was take your remote and change the channel.
I feel like that people have the right to love who they love, and people have the right to disagree with that. Freedom of speech. Same thing with Donald Sterling. He has the right to feel however he wants to. Now, expressing that publicly will cause problems. There will be consequences. The one guy that tweeted about it, he got fined, apparently. I just feel like it takes away from football. I don't care what you do at home, but people are talking more about his sexual preference than his ability to play football.
Agreed.
That's not even really being brought up. He's talented.
But nobody's
talking about that. Everybody's talking about this kiss or whatever.
Like, and the funny thing about it is, I believe he was a defensive player in the SEC. And the SEC is pretty
pretty much, you could say, the dominant conference in college football. And he was a defensive end. And he almost became Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. Now, granted, you got your experts, your draft experts, your GMs that saw his flaws.
Every player has flaws.
But I ask myself, if he didn't come out and say, hey, look, I'm gay.
This would be completely different. Would
he would have been drafted in the earlier round?
Because some people just don't want the problem. They feel like he won't be well-received in the locker room and things like that. But this is what people don't understand. The key word, what you said earlier, was the first openly gay. There are a lot of gay men in the NBA, in the NFL. They're just not open about it. So you might be showering and sharing a locker room with somebody that's gay, and you're just not aware of it.
True.
So, I mean, that's what people understand. People are so ignorant. If you really think he's the first gay man in the NFL, you're crazy.
You know,
it shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
If you're uncomfortable, then separate yourself from the situation in the locker room. People automatically assume that if you're gay that you are going to be on the prowl all the time. And that's not true. That's just like if a man is in a room full of women, it doesn't mean he's going to try to holler at every single woman. Doesn't necessarily mean that. So just because he's gay does not mean he's going to be on the prowl in the locker room thinking about them. But that's what they're thinking. That's what their fear is.
Yeah. And here's another question. Do you feel that if he wouldn't have been drafted, it was going to be like a big media issue because of the fact that
he's a big media issue regardless. No matter what would have happened, either way, it would have been a media circus. And the most important thing about football in the NFL draft would not have been talked about, which is his talent, his ability to contribute to a team. Nobody's talking about it. They're talking about this stupid kid.
Yeah.
Which, me personally, I don't like seeing PDA regardless with men, women, women and women, men and men. I don't want to see nobody's slobbering face regardless. So, but that's just something that you have to. It's just part of our world, so you just move on. I don't make a big deal about it. I don't understand why people are making such a big deal about it. You kissed them. You didn't want to see it. Change your channel. Keep it moving. You see a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily approve of or agree with in this world, whether it's TV, just walking down the street. I mean, that's just part of the world we live in.
Once again, granted, it's not my cup of tea, but I look past it. I'm like, wait, hold on. This man is accomplishing one of his lifelong dreams. And not only is he doing that, he's sharing that moment with the people who feel that got him there.
But people feel like if they congratulate his achievement, they're congratulating his sexuality or what he stands for. And that's not necessarily true. You can congratulate and be happy for someone and what they do and not necessarily agree with what they do off the field.
You know, and I like to see how that play out, how the whole Michael Sam thing plays out. But he's a hell of a football player. That's defensive MVP. You can't be awarded defensive MVP of one of the toughest conferences, if not the toughest conference in college football, for nothing. So I like to see how.
Congratulations to him. Hope eventually all this talk just blows over and we can concentrate on what he needs to do this upcoming season.
I definitely
agree.
And
if you don't like him, if you don't want to watch him, don't watch him. Simple as that.
He's getting paid. Even though for several rounds, he's for something a lot of his haters are doing, not doing, and that's living their dreams. So, since me and you are having this conversation, we got to go to this break, and we're going to come back. We're going to go to hoops. I got my man, Tony Cole. He's going to talk some hoops with us about who he thinks is going to win the NBA playoffs. And not only that, prep school basketball as well. So go ahead, kick that interlude. We'll be right back with you at the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. thanks. Thank you, everybody, for coming to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Big shout out to one of the people here that works with me on this show, Big D. Hasn't been here lately because he is on his grind running for councilman of the city of Orange. Voting is tomorrow. Get out there, vote for Darrell Hamilton. Jesse will be the definitely will be the voice of Orange. So get out there, vote for him. Good man, good brother, does a lot for the community. And I'm not only saying this because it's the election. He's been doing it for the city of Orange for years, from coaching Little League to mid-touring, high school people in the city. There's all type of projects for the city. Definitely great guy. Down. Hey, we're rooting for you here at the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Also, got two cool shows on the network. Shadow World Radio Network, definitely got to say what's up to them. Every Woman Talk Show comes on every Tuesday night, 7:30 to 9, got to say. So check them out every Tuesday night. Also, Every Man Talk Show comes on every Friday night from 7 to 9 as well. So definitely go ahead and check them out on Friday night. Support the whole movement. Support the whole movement. And if it wasn't for the Shadow Worlds Network, would not be here with this platform for y'all to stand on and let y'all voices be heard. And with that said, I got my man, who is a Clevelandist from Cleveland. And TK is smiling about this because he's from Ohio. But he's doing his thing in Indiana right now. My man, Coach Tony Cole. How you doing there, Coach?
What's going on, Trey, man? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, you being a big fan of basketball, what is the most amazing thing you saw in this playoffs thus far?
I tell you what, I really was impressed with the Wizards up until a couple nights ago. I just think that they're a young team. I really like what they bring to the table. A lot of energy. Right now, they don't know how to win or close out games in big moments yet because of their youth. But I really like that Wizards team. I really think that a couple different breaks in the series would be looking a little different for them. They just don't know how to close out. But I really just like the way they play together. They're very young and exciting. They're gonna be something. If they can keep that group together, they'll be special in the next couple of years.
Now, your opinion, and you told me this, which I didn't believe it but at first. But for people that thought that Damian Lillard was going to give Tony Parker some trouble. We are finding out how good Tony Parker is.
if people didn't know that, and that's not to take anything away from Damian. I mean, obviously he's a heck of a player, but I don't think you could play in any better system than what Popovich has Tony Parker in, and he has complete control of that. I mean, I don't think there's a better guard in the last 4 to 5 years that gets in the lane like he does and does what he does. Everybody wants to discredit Russell Westbrook for kind of being a little out of control and everything else, but Tony was never the athlete that Russell is today. But if you remember when TP first came in the league, he was that guy. He was kind of reckless. He'd make some mistakes and everything else, but now you look at him, you know, years later, matured player. Again, he doesn't have the athleticism, but his decision-making is kind of impeccable just because of the system. I think that Damian Lillard just ran into, you know, a Hall of Famer, bottom line. We're talking about a kid who's in his second year in the league, and look what he's already done. So everybody's going to take their lumps. I just think that they're unbelievably coached. I think a healthy Tony Parker at this point in his career is still a top three point guard in the league, period.
Now you're saying, talking about being a product of a great system, you're coaching at the prep school level. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody, you know, what your prep school is about and what is prep school?
I that's a funny thing. I just somebody else asked me that today. I guess it's kind of a, you know, people get to, it's a bad name, Trey, as you probably know, amongst a lot of people, and the reason, various reasons. You know, in the last 8 to 10 years especially, it's come on the scene. You got some programs that have been doing it for a long time at a very successful rate, but you have a lot of fly-by-night programs that kind of just pop up, and they come in the local high school gym, and they maybe take the best player or the best couple kids on that team, and they basically play a national schedule or a schedule where they can get some exposure and things like that. A true prep school is exactly what the term is. If you're doing it the right way, and if you're doing it for the kids, it's college. You know, just like if you're going to a preparatory academy, you know, for your academics, it's to prepare you for college, and it's the same way. These are athletes who desire to play at the next level, to be college athletes, to be college basketball players, and so you know, they go into a program where they can get more individual training. They're not bound by so many rules as like in Indiana, to the Indiana High School Athletic Association or the Ohio Athletic, you know, where you only have so much practice time with your team or that coach. You know, then the schedule that you're able to play and the competition that you're able to play is a little bit more stiffer. Instead of having maybe just one or two kids that are really good, again, you're going to see a team, you know, that probably has three or four top-notch players or that kind of thing. So it's basically exactly what it is, and what it's the original design for it was to help those kids that really had a desire to play at the next level, improve, get there, and it's gotten tainted over the years by a lot of guys that have kind of marketed it and found a way to make money out of it and everything else.
Now, what made you want to be a prep school coach?
I think really, you know, while you guys were clowning Cleveland earlier, I grew up and seen a lot of kids over the years who were very talented, not just basketball players, but football players. And there's so many kids out there who, and it still happens today, don't get their shot for whatever reason. They don't get the exposure that they need. They don't get recruited properly. You know, there's a lot of things that go into the, you know, people see kids on TV and think, well, I played against him in AAU and I was better than him. And there's a lot of politics in the business. So in a lot of ways, when a prep school program is doing it the right way and you're really trying to help kids, you're really kind of equaling the playing field. You know, if a kid didn't get to play at a top-notch AAU program or a major high school program in a big city and he's not getting the looks, you're kind of putting them on a level playing field. And so for me, when I started doing this, it was all about giving kids the opportunity to, one, further their education for free, kids that probably would not have the opportunity to go to a four-year school if it wasn't for the gift of athletics. So that's really where it started at. For me, it was just to see kids have an opportunity coming from a background where I didn't have that opportunity, where mom and dad couldn't cut a check for me to go to college and that type of thing. So that's really where it started. The heart of it started for me.
Now, what is your program, Elite Prep? What is it all about, and how do you prepare your players academically and athletically for college? What does your program consist of?
I mainly deal with post-grad kids, meaning kids that are 1 year removed from high school. The NCAA lets them have 1 year to basically develop. And we try to focus just as much off the court as we do on. I don't want a kid to come to me and, you know, only thing he gets out of it is becoming a better basketball player. Obviously, that's going to happen. He's going to come and be able to spend, you know, 5 or 6 hours in the gym. So a kid that comes to our program and trains with us and plays that national schedule that's in travels, he's going to get better in that 10 months than he probably did in the previous 2 years because of the hands-on development and constant training and repetition that he's going to get. So we're going to get him ready. We're going to have a different look because, you know, by doing this so long and helping kids get to the next level, we're going to know where he needs to be with his body, what skill set that he needs, that what's going to best fit the size and the kind of athlete that he is and that kind of thing. So that's really what we do. We try to put every kid that we get in a position where he's going to be most successful. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, Trey, we've talked about this in the past, that, you know, a lot of these kids, everybody thinks they're a certain level of player. And I think the biggest thing that we do is we prepare every kid according to a sane evaluation of their talents and say, look, this is where you're at, and this is how we can help you. They have to still be able to embrace that and understand, hey, this is my best option and best choice to get there, and we'll help them get there if they're willing to come in and do the work. At the end of the day, if we want it more than they do, they'll still never get it. So really what we do is we try to focus on finding the strengths in that kid, bring them out, improve his skill set, improve his body type, all those things. That's really what we're about. And then also the maturity that a kid gets from coming and spending a year with us before college, being away from home, you know, it's unbelievable for them to be able to grow up. You'd be surprised how many kids over the years that I got that didn't know how to do laundry or sweep a floor or clean dishes and all just the little things, that, you know, those little small things that start to prepare kids for life, make college transition a little easier, dorm life a little easier, all that stuff.
Hi, Coach Cole. I want to know, how important is skill development at the prep school level?
I mean, it's everything. For instance, we play, we generally, my program over the years has played a lot of junior colleges in the first part of the season. So from about November to January, we almost play exclusively junior colleges as a post-grad team. And the reason that we do that is the NJCA, which is the National Junior College Athletic Association, allows that to happen as long as they're not into conference play. Conference play starts after January when they come back from Christmas break in January. And so we try to play as many junior colleges as possible. Is that hard on the record? It's absolutely hard on the record, but what it does is it gives these kids who really want to, obviously they are all coming for that reason. It gives them an opportunity to see the speed of the game, the strength of the game, and how players develop. And a lot of people have a misunderstanding of junior colleges and how good those programs are and how good those players are that are at that level. And since we're able to play them, we want them to see how important the skill set is, how important the development is. And so we spend a lot of time in repetition, a lot of time in technique and shooting the ball, and kind of sometimes you have to break kids all the way down. You know, over the years we've had some kids that were exceptional athletes, but, you know, they couldn't put the ball on the floor, or, you know, pass two dribbles, or they couldn't – just the little things. So we spend a lot of time in skill development. We spend a lot of time shooting the ball, getting kids released quicker and – all, you know, the right motion. And so we spend a lot of time in that area, and it's very important because every college program in the country, you have to figure that they're looking for, they're going to have that one kid that they're pushing hard for. That's probably going to be their star. That's probably going to put up the majority of the points. Everybody else is a piece to the puzzle. So without skill development, you know, unless, you know, and we see all the time, there's some guys that I have what they call wake-up talent who wake up and could be 6'8", and a freak athlete jumps out of the gym and just he's going to get a shot because of the great athlete he is. If you're like most kids that we get phone calls from or that want to come that are between 5'10", and 6'3", you're a dime a dozen. So the skill development at this stage is everything. You know, because there's so many kids out there that look just alike. And if you don't have a separation, if you don't have a clear difference maker between you and the other 6'3 kid, you're going to be sitting at home come the following year and going to be mad that you went to prep school and feel like you made an investment over enough for no reason. One of the first things that Trey asked me was the Damian Lillard Tony Parker situation. The difference between Tony Parker and Damian is now Damian's probably a step quicker and a little bit more athletic, but Tony's so advanced and his skill set is just crazy. So that just gives you a difference right there. And that's the same situation. If I took one of my post-grad teams and I went and played a normal high school team, that high school team would have to be extremely good to be able to compete with us because the skill development and everything else is so much more advanced, just even in that extra year that they get. So it's everything in order to get a college scholarship.
Okay, and what tips could you give an athlete looking for a prep school to play for?
I could you repeat that for me? I didn't hear you.
What tips could you give a kid looking for a prep school? Like, what should they look for, you know, to make sure they go to a successful prep school program?
You know, one thing I've always done, I know a lot of guys in the business that run good programs, and I think the biggest thing that I would look for, and when I'm talking to, if I was, you know, if I had my son and he was involved and we were looking for a prep school, I would tell him the first thing is look at placement. How many kids have they placed over the years? How long have they been doing it? You know, can they pick up the phone and really put you in a position to get you to the next level? How many kids have they placed over the years? Not so much where they place kids, because that really doesn't have anything to do with it. It's extremely hard to place kids today. It's extremely hard, especially in the prep world, because there's so many colleges and college programs that really look at it and they will hold off simply because that's a prep school kid, unless he's like he has size or whatever else is, because it's a tainted process. And what I mean by that is there's so many programs that have given it a black eye. There's so many programs that have made it not good for the whole. It's given it a black eye. So I would tell them, look to see where kids have been placed. Look to see, you know, what not wins and losses. That's not important for what they're trying to do. They're trying to get to college. So I think it's going to be a placement. You know, that guy that you're going to play for that's running a program, you really want to know, you know, how many kids he's placed over the years. And that way, you know, are you going to be in good hands? If he's placed a lot of kids, then obviously he's developing kids. And, you know, anybody can go and get four or five of the best players from somewhere and put a team together and get them in school. I look for a guy, when I talk about programs, prep programs, I want to look for a guy that builds kids. I want to look for a guy that doesn't have, you know, that superstar kid or that kid that was ranked that didn't get the grades or whatever and that fell in their hands. I'm looking for a guy that's got a team full of kids that nobody knew. And at the end of the year, he's got 12 kids. If not all 12, he's getting 8 to 10 of them in school. That's a guy that's developing his team. That's a guy that's coaching them. That's a guy that's well-connected. And so that's what I would tell people when they go to look. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, now, because everybody's using this as a business, the first mistake that parents make is the financial obligation. They say, okay, well, I found a program that's cheaper than yours. Cheaper, just like anything else in today, doesn't mean better by any means. And so you end up having a kid go someplace for half a semester, and he's eating ramen noodles. He's not gotten any better, and he's only played YMCA basketball, and he's wasted a half a semester, and now he wants to transfer somewhere else. So the number one thing a player in that situation should be looking for is placement. How many kids have you placed, period? And if you go with that situation, that scenario, you're going to generally be successful.
Now, this is probably a question that you hear every so often, but, you know, you having over 600 wins in your career as a coach, what makes your program a successful prep program?
You know, at the end of the day, I've thought a lot about this and recently. it's relationship. And I say that to mean this. You have to be passionate about what you do. I don't just coach my kids over the years. I've been on the bus with them. I've shared hotel rooms with them. We've done everything together. So they're with me 10, 11 months out of the year. I know my players. So I'm building a relationship. And just like in order to get them to buy into whatever we're doing that year, system-wise, defensively or offensively, they have to buy in. They have to trust you. And you can't break that trust. I would say relationship. We the people that have worked with me that have helped me over the years have been some good people, really good people that we've genuinely brought in that cared about the kids. And honestly, if you were to call any former player of mine that's in college now, overseas, whatever, they would tell you, do we practice hard? Am I a screamer? You know, do we want to win? Absolutely. But I'd start every year off when we start our first training camp practice and our first 2 days. That 5 a.m. practice is the first one, and I tell everybody, listen, if we don't win a game this year, will I be happy? No, I won't like it. But if we place every kid and every kid gets a scholarship and goes to college, we had a successful year. And so I work hard for my kids. I eat, sleep, and drink what I do. And I feel like at any time, there's not a lot of guys, and I don't say that arrogantly, are better at what I do. There might be guys that are better X's and O guys, but the reason that I have a success, or we've had success with our kids, is because I know my kids. So I know what situations to put them in, and I'm not that coach. I don't coach a system every year. I don't say, okay, we're going to play this way, and this is the only way we're going to play. This is the only thing I know. I'm constantly trying to evolve and learn so that when I got a group of kids, I can get the best and the most out of that group of kids that I have. So that means, there's been years that I love to play up-tempo, that we just couldn't play that way because we didn't have it. We didn't have what it took to be able to be competitive that way to help all those kids get to school. So it at the end of the day, it comes to relationship and knowing not only the talent you have but the personalities that you have and how to push those buttons to get those kids where they want to go. And then, again, the other part of that is I think the biggest part of us being successful, like I said, I would love to take credit for it, but I've been blessed, man, to have a lot of people over the years so into the kids that we've had as volunteers, from drivers to people bringing them in their homes on the weekends and feeding them, let them swim in their pools, and just, constantly pouring into their lives off of the court, too. You got to remember, I've had kids from all over the world, so you got kids from other places coming here, coming to school and being away from home for the first time. It makes it really tough. So it's all about relationship. If you don't have a trust, with a kid and he's not believing you and believing that you're for him, he's probably not going to perform for you very well. So I would love to say, man, I'm X's and O's, or we hold the best practices, and I might feel that way, but I know truly it really comes down to the time that we spend with them, to the hours and just knowing who we have. It doesn't mean we've reached every kid, Trey, by any means. I've made mistakes with kids. I got a kid right now playing over in China, pro ball, that I had on one of my national championship teams, and he maybe played 6 or 7 minutes a game, and I totally missed it. I didn't think the kid was even good enough to be a college player. And so we make mistakes. But every kid that comes through, and even kids that I've had to dismiss from my programs for various reasons, we really, really try to make not just an impact on the court, but we really try to spend time and do things with them off of the floor that are going to affect them in life, not just when they go to college, but after that. We're talking about guys that are going to be future fathers and husbands and pastors and police officers, and those are important things, that we don't lose that next generation. And sometimes as coaches, we get lost and caught up in all the wins and losses that we don't realize that these are still young men, and that I'm 40 now. And 20 years from now, these are going to be the guys that are going to be doing what I'm doing and training the net. So you want to make sure that when you sow into their life, that you sow in the right way. So at the end of the day, man, it comes down to relationships. And I think if you go back, and I got this from Tom Izzo working at one of his camps, and I remember asking him, I said, Tom, can I ask you a question? How, and I was always really wondering how he got his kids to be so tough. And he said, look at me. Look how tall I am. Look at my stature. He said, I don't let them push me around. He said, they could all whip me in a moment. He said, but he said, I'm tough with them. I'm tough with them. He said, but if I have to be compassionate, I am. He said, but he began to tell me, he said, we were tough on the boys. It's just how he comes across, and they take on his persona. And so we spend a lot of time with our guys, and I've had my teams where I wanted them to be tough and we were kind of soft, but they pull together for each other because they spend so much time together. They live together. It's everything. It's really a family. And Trey, you've been through the same scenario, so you know how tight those guys get. You know how tough it is packed up in those hotel rooms on those buses for hours and hours and hours on end. And we've been right there with them through the years. We haven't been riding separate with them. We haven't been sleeping separate with them. We don't go down and eat at Red Lobster while our kids are eating at McDonald's. We spend that time with them. At the end of the day, success comes from the relationships. That's it, bottom line.
Well, definitely. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that experience, and wish you the best of blessings with your prep school and the career. Definitely we'll be back next Monday with another prep school coach, probably one of your rivals who you will see. Coach, you can tell people where to find you at, your Facebook, your Twitter. Let them know what is the name of your school.
Absolutely. We have a couple different programs. We have our basketball, our prep school, which is Indiana Elite Basketball Academy. You can reach me on Twitter at Real Coach Cole. That's at Real Coach Cole. We have another division where we train kids and everything else, do a summer training program and everything else through a partner of mine, New Vision Sports and Entertainment. you can find me on Facebook at Tony Cole, or also we have a company site at Elite Recruiting and Development, or you can simply email me at CoachCole74@gmail. We're enrolling kids right now for next prep season. We're enrolling kids for our training program right now, individual sessions, all type of stuff. We have a big exposure event coming up on the 24th here in Indiana. We've got kids that are expected to be coming from as far as India to be a part of it. So, we're not the only deal, and I don't pretend to be. I got a lot of friends in the business that I would recommend in a minute. I think you're having Coach Lee on next week. Great guy, great program. Too many kids out here to be competitive with each other as coaches and everything else. There's a lot of kids out here that are looking for help, that need help, and that's my goal, bottom line.
Well, there you have it, everybody. My man, Coach Tony Cole, feel free. Go ahead and hit him up. Definitely check out the Every Woman Talk Show, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and Every Man Talk Show on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Until then, hey, follow me on Twitter at GameStrong3D. Until then, next Monday, I love y'all. Take it easy.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This cack of ball, man.
Wanna play games? Okay.
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong. Too strong. Give it to them. I never give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send them along.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Giving you the latest and sports, the hottest sports crew out there in your city, in your area, or local.
I'm too strong.
What?
I'm too strong.
I'm
too strong. Too strong.
Shadow, World, radio.